And God said, Paul, in effect, I'm not going to give you what you're asking for, because you already have what you need. And I think he was saying this: I've let you get where you are so you could find out that all you need is myself. And you'd have never found it if I hadn't put you there. So Paul, I've geared these circumstances to bring you absolutely and to keep you at the end of yourself, so that every day may be the beginning of myself in you. And I'll tell you something else. I wish it were so. And sometimes I'm afraid I have in the past said, now look, if you'll just enter into the truths of identification, if you'll just do it, and that'll be a glorious experience. And you just go right on, and there'll be you know, all honey, no bees, no work, all these, and down the freeway of life, never having to make a left turn. Boy, I didn't find that to be true, have you? And I'll tell you something else I'm finding out. That I can very easily be out on the cutting edge of the ministry God has given me and forget the distinct message that he gave me to give in application in my own life. And I've had to go back in late months and rehearse and review everything I ever found out about the life of identification with Jesus. I think I know what the writer of Hebrews meant when he said, brethren, we ought to pay the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest we pass them by. You don't get so mature that you don't need to come back to that day by day, moment by moment, identification with him. He is your life. He is your life now. And only as you continue reckoning death to sin, but a life indeed unto God, you get away from that 5 minutes and you're away from it. And so I want to say the second thing. Not only does this strength of weakness commence with brokenness, but it continues with bafflement. Now, friend, I thought when I first came into this life, boy, you know, this is going to be good because I'm going to be able to tell folks from the standpoint of somebody who's discovered something, and it's just going to be wonderful. But it's not been that way. It seems to me like I've just sort of been a fellow struggler reporting on the struggle and not minding that near so much as I thought it would. Now, Paul was experiencing some uneasiness. In fact, there were bafflements in three areas. One, there was the bafflement of unalleviated suffering. You suffering, any of you? Got things in your family, or things in your finances, or things in your personal life that are just not working out that easy. You're on the horns of a dilemma. Well, just be still. Paul knew what distress was. And if you and I walk with God, we'll know what distress is. And if you think that Christian joy is this light little frivolous light talk, and I'm all for praising the Lord. I think we ought to praise the Lord all the time, but I believe I've heard folks who are praising the Lord just to keep from cussing. And I think there are a lot of folks who are intending to express joy who are expressing a light little silly frivolousness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, not silliness. And I want to tell you, there will be times when your heart is so broken, when there's so much heaviness, that you'll despair of your life. How are you going to figure that out? And if you don't have a theology that includes a legitimate darkness when God ministers to you by withdrawing his conscious presence, you're going to break up. Bafflement. Somebody had the nerve the other day, sit at a table in front of me. She said, you know, my wife and I were talking the other day, and she said, honey, she said, you know, we got lots of problems. I said, wonder why you can't have a life like Jack Taylor. He just runs around preaching all over the country, never has any problems, never has any trouble. I said, "Friend, do you have about 3 hours?" Baffled by unalleviated suffering. And I believe it's necessary.